2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9, we're going to look at verse 9 and 10, maybe 11. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, we're going to talk about what that abolished death means this morning, because I think this is the least understood thing in Christianity, and maybe even in here. So let's go back to Genesis 2. Chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it thou shalt surely die. That surely die is an awkward translation. In Hebrew it says, in dying you shall die. Now, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them into Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the beasts, to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto Adam. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. The word doesn't really say rib, it just means out of his side. And it portended what happened with Christ on the cross. That when he died, or the proof of his death was when the centurion took the spear and plunged it into the, and went into the fifth vertebrae, into the power chakra, if you're that kind. And out of that rib, out of that side, out of that death, he formed woman, the bride. We cannot conceive. We're concerned about what we do and what we don't do, and whether or not we're shy, or whether or not we're forward or froward. And it has nothing to do with anything. We say that by his blood you are forgiven of sin. What does that mean? You got to hear this. He died and we died. That's why you're forgiven. You died because of your sin. But that death was taken on by Christ. You don't go running around now and try not to sin or do this or that. That has nothing to do with the mystery of God. The mystery of God is that there is a new creation taken out of the side of Christ, just as it was taken out of the side of Adam. And that new creation is his bride. And his bride has absolutely nothing to do with this world, except be antagonized by it. And so all of the systems and thoughts and processes that you have had that made you you, it's not that you're going to change anything. You've got to reckon that you're dead. You mortify the flesh. Mortify means consider that it is dead. But we don't understand that. We wonder what I'm going to do and what I'm going to do about this and what I'm going to do about that. And whether or not I'm using cause and effect or whether or not I'm leaning on my own understanding or whether this or whether that. It all has nothing to do with anything. You reckon yourself to be crucified. You see that you were crucified. And then you know no man after the flesh. Now there's a new creation that's come forth out of the side. There's only two generations in the that Christ speaks of and the Bible speaks of. It's the generation of Adam and now the generation of Christ. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things become new. So you're fighting the wrong battle. What, Gary? You were chewing.
I just had something happen the other night in Bible study where it talks about you'll make no gods of silver or gold or translation. When I read that, I realized that because I understood about the silver, I felt redeemed because of that understanding. And then I got glory for the understanding, and it made me realize how ultimately evil my mind is, and there's no hope there. And so when you talk about all this stuff, I peg that experience as even trying to grasp the understanding is as evil as it can be. It has to die. In this teaching that we go through in the mornings, it's hearing with different ears, it's seeing with different eyes, it's not trying to gain anything from what we're doing, and that's so contrary to the nature
that I... Let's go now to we'll go first to let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm winging it this morning, so if I don't remember where Scripture is, forgive me. I'm winging it. First Corinthians chapter 15. What we are looking at is the fact that he abolished death. I'm trying to get an idea of what that means. Verse 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. Everybody there?
Yes.
Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool. It's stronger than that in the Greek. It's thou madman. That which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that it shall be, but bare grain, if may chance of wheat or of some other grain. What he's trying to get us to see is this whole mystery of the seed. The seed can spend its life worrying about whether or not it's doing this right or doing that right, or whether it's nice or whether it's not nice. But nothing happens until that seed falls into the ground and dies and sees that you're dead, that you cannot trust anything that's going on by your senses, because they are of the evil one, the one who has raised himself from the deadly head wound. You're an enemy in your mind. That's the only place, the only enemy on the face of the earth and all of creation is your mind, the mind of all men. Now, it's useful because it takes us. We have to take it and push every barrier and get to the end so we know the emptiness and futility of it. We see, if we have any integrity, how your mind has not once in your life been your friend, nor have your most emotions have never been your friend. They always try to keep you alone and separate. Capisce?
I've got a question I got to ask you on the seed. The idea of a seed implies it starts out a seed, but it becomes something.
That's right.
Well, in that process of becoming, things are happening. And the seed is perfect in that it's Christ, but that process implies revelation upon revelation, seeing upon seeing, or I don't really get that gap between.
Okay, the word that we are the adopted, it tells. And the adopted, we think of, well, that's, what does that mean? It's because we're trying to mix metaphors. But the adopted is, the word adopt is huiothesios, and it's the fullness of the Son. So the seed, by our reckoning of our crucifixion, of our death, is the fullness of the Son in you. All that's happening is that which isn't Him, which still is of you, is slowly smashed, or hopefully fastly mashed, smashed. It's always, He's finished. And he's just using the illustration now that the seed here, you're not mixing metaphors, the seed becomes, a grain of wheat becomes the stalk and everything else. The seed in Christ, together we become the bride of Christ. Amen? It's our Father, it's not my Father. Yeah, John's got to write a song about the grape. He wrote one about the bread that's really great, but we're praying that you write a song about the grape.
Just replace grape with...
The grapes don't go in the oven.
Doesn't work the same.
No, it doesn't work the oven. No.
Moby grape is a good song. Moby's grape.
I don't know. I do not know how your mind works. It's something, it's a grand mystery.
Moby
Grape.
There's a grape group?
Pop group back in the 60s.
There's a group called Moby Grape?
Yes,
you were out of the country in the
60s. Oh, God. I'm glad I didn't know that.
I'd like to take credit for it.
Okay, that which was sow, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance be of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And all flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of man, another of beast, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial, I can't even say that word, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star. And so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in incorruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it was written, or is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now again, I also ask this question here. If Jesus was the last Adam, who are you? If you believe this at all, if Jesus is the last Adam, last Adamic race, he ended the race, who are we in the flesh? We are dishonor, weakness, corruption. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body.
That's cool. We are corruption. We are dishonor.
Howbeit that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And that shouldn't be like verb tense. It's we also now bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed, transfigured, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised uncorruptible, and we shall be transfigured. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death has been abolished. So you don't concern yourself. I mean, have you ever been to I've been to so many funerals. And they're talking about, oh, he was such a wonderful guy. And he's blah, 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 blah. And the same people are saying that, 3 weeks before, you son of a bitch. I mean, every funeral I've been to outside of here has been just an exercise in hypocrisy. But the hypocrisy is still here in us. Because if you know, the reason you're forgiven is because you're dead. Harry's forgiven. You can see that. You can touch that. You can know that. But you're forgiven because you are dead. There's a new creation, a new creature that has nothing to do with the old one. You are the vessel for that perfect creature. You don't worry. It's no more about this or that or whether what somebody says about you or somebody don't or they like you or not like you. All that's gone. You believe, therefore you speak. You don't go try to speak. You don't go learn lessons how to speak it. If you believe it, you will speak it. You can do nothing else. Death is swallowed up in victory. Corruption has been swallowed up in incorruption. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1.
While you're talking, I'm thinking how the human being is totally programmed to avoid death. Everything about us is maintaining our breath, our life.
Saving yourself.
Saving ourselves. And then along comes Jesus and says with authority that this thing we are trying to avoid with everything in us is now abolished. It doesn't exist.
Verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 16. I'm sorry. What? Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. All right, everybody there? Mm-hmm. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. And again, the word law there is nomos. It just means by the way anything works. It includes all of the spiritual law, but it's all the natural law. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ. That's the start. I believe in him. Then what happens? We believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now what that means, at the core of its meaning, is if you believe in Christ, and then you go about trying to improve yourself, or stop doing something, or not doing this, or doing that, if you have any rule of law, any attempt to change yourself, then what does it say? If I build again the thing which I destroyed. What did you destroy in this? You destroyed because you're crucified. And so if you go about trying to build that which you have destroyed, rebuild, then you make yourself a transgressor. Does everybody understand that?
No.
No, you don't understand it.
The reason I don't understand it is here we are encouraged to let go of things, unpack things.
Throw away things.
Stuff like that. So that is making a change.
No, it has nothing to do with what you throw away spiritually. It's what you do when you repent. You throw away everything. But if you start to rebuild that which you've agreed with it, you're justified only by the faith of him, and you're saved only by his life in you, and then you go about to change yourself, then you make yourself the big transgressor.
I'm still confused. That's all right.
All right. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Period. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Amen?
I was looking at 18, and I was thinking, before I build again the things, could it also be stated, for I build again the things which he has destroyed in me, or he has broken.
Well, you have agreed that it's destroyed.
And then I make myself a transgressor when I'm trying to recreate what he has broken in me, and yet I'm going to the well again.
Well, you could look at it that way, but listen. For if I build the things which I destroyed them by being in agreement with the fact, the eternal fact, that I'm dead. You understand? You can say that because you're dead, because of what he did on the cross. But this is talking about your agreement with that. So if I build the things, again, which I destroyed, you destroyed by being in agreement with the cross, then I make myself a transgressor. Okay? And I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
It's like getting off the mercy seat.
Right.
To go do something, then you're back in that world again. You have to try and justify yourself by everything you do, and you can't do it.
Amen. Let's go one more. Romans 5. Back to the left.
Where are we going again?
Romans 5. Verse 6. We should have, like Harry used to say, we should have all the scriptures written up on the board. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, or instead of us, if you look at that way. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Everything now is about him. And anytime you go to this, as Jeff said, go back to this well for any reason, then God has to make the Holy Spirit your enemy. Is that clear? So stop trying to rebuild that which has been destroyed.
It's almost like there's false comfort in familiar. I was having trouble saying this word. There's false comfort in familiarity.
Sure. There's also false comfort in allies.
I hate to say that word more than once.
I have about 1,000 words that I say that don't come out very well. Anyway, everybody have anything else, Mr. John? Take it large person.